This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, March 7th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Biden to outline anti-inflation plans. Spending bill easily passes House. Ag happy with SEC climate reporting rule. Biden will style himself as inflation fighter in State of the Union. President Joe Biden makes his case for re-election in tonight's State of the Union. Look for him to say the administration is taking on inflation in food, farm inputs, and other areas. To that end, USDA this week announced its latest set of regulations on meat and poultry processors. Lael Brainard, director of the National Economic Council, told reporters Biden is, quote, in the fight for the long haul when it comes to lowering costs for American consumers. Congressional Republicans should join this effort instead of standing in the way. By the way, in support of the president's message, House Ag Committee member Shelley Pingree of Maine will have as her guest Heather Paquette, president of the Good Shepherd Food Bank of Maine. Anyone who has been at a grocery store lately has seen how big food companies are squeezing consumers by shrinking the size of their products while keeping their prices high, Pingree says. Republicans blame government spending for inflation. Now keep in mind, food inflation has slowed considerably. USDA is forecasting grocery prices will rise 1.6% this year, well under the 20-year historical rate of 2.7%. Spending minibus sails through House. It looks like Congress is going to avoid a government shutdown once again. The House yesterday overwhelmingly passed a package of spending bills that cover six sections of the government, including USDA and the Interior Department and EPA. The House approved the bill 339-85. Some 132 Republicans joined 207 Democrats in voting for the package, which should easily get Senate approval. The legislation fully funds the WIC nutrition program and includes new provisions intended to address concerns about foreign acquisition of U.S. farmland, but there's also cuts to a variety of other programs and departments. Ag groups prevail. SEC scales back climate regs. Farm groups are cheering the Securities and Exchange Commission's decision to soften the blow of climate disclosure rule. As had been expected for some time, the final regulations for corporations require disclosure of only what are known as Scope 1 and Scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions. Scope 3 emissions, those that occur in a company's supply chain, will be exempt. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall said farmers are committed to protecting the natural resources they've been entrusted with, and they continue to advance climate-smart agriculture, but they cannot afford to hire compliance officers just to handle SEC reporting requirements. Duvall said, quote, this is especially true for small farms that would have likely been squeezed out of the supply chain. SEC Chairman Gary Gensler downplayed the rule's potential impact on farmers when it was introduced 2 years ago, but he was nevertheless forced to drop the Scope 3 coverage. The final rule only applies to greenhouse gas emissions a company produces itself and those associated with its energy consumption. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Upper and lower Colorado River basins submit dueling post-2026 proposals. an upper versus lower basin feud over framework for Colorado River water cuts following current guidelines 2026 expiration reached a new milestone on Wednesday. States on both sides submitting clashing proposals to the Bureau of Reclamation. The lower basin plan, backed by negotiators from California, Nevada, and Arizona, calls for all seven Colorado River states to share the burden of future cuts. In contrast, the proposal from Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, the upper basin states, recommends that any reduction to their users' water allocations be voluntary and separate from any final guidelines. But keep in mind, each half of the basin is entitled to 7.5 million acre-feet of water under the Colorado River Compact of 1922, though both are also subject to their own framework for reductions. The upper basin's states' cuts vary based on snowpack and runoff. These states are required to leave at least 7.5 million acre-feet of water per year in Lake Powell and Meade. This has led upper basin to use less water in recent years. For example, these states utilize only 3.5 million acre-feet of their 7.5 million acre-foot allocation in 2021. The lower basin states used around 7 million acre-feet. House Aggies press CFTC head to get workers back in the office. Many of the questions posed to Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chair Rostin Benham at yesterday's House Ag Committee hearing focused less on the work of the CFTC's employees and more where they're doing it. Several on the panel expressed for clarity on when the commission would return its employees to consistent in-office work. COVID's over, and America needs to get back to work, Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson said at the hearing before asking Benham to, quote, keep us apprised of the CFTC plan for staff to return in person to the office. Benham largely agreed with the calls for pre-pandemic office schedule, but noted he was in negotiations with CFTC Employees Union and wants to play the long game on how the agency returns to the office. EPA okays some use of existing stocks of streptomycin. EPA is allowing the existing stocks of streptomycin products on pears and apples, but not on citrus, except for Florida, where citrus growers in possession of AgriSeed 50WP can use it until August 31st. The order was issued in response to a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that vacated EPA's 2021 approval of the pesticide because the agency did not adequately evaluate the impact on pollinators or endangered species. The Ninth Circuit decision did not address pears or apples. Here's today's He Said It. I am also mindful of the current work environment, that hybrid does work, and that we have to give some level of balance, so I'm trying to strike the right balance and bring folks back, but negotiate in good faith with patients and ultimately come up with an outcome that's suitable for everyone. That Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Rostin Benham at the House Ag Committee yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, March 7th. Brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.